Don't have time to read that research paper you saved? Chelsea and Olivia want to help you out. We know how it is. That's why we read it for you. Welcome to the Exercise Science Too Long Didn't Read podcast.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. You ready to do another paper?
If we must. I mean, I guess it is that time.
Well, today we've got an interesting one that we're going to talk about.
Excellent. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about virtual group fitness in older adults.
Fantastic.
Here's the twist. It's during the COVID lockdown of 2020.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I mean, I will say, like, I've seen a lot of it where it's like, you know, and like Peloton stuff, it's like live classes and you can interact a little bit. So it's been a thing before, but yeah, 100% when everything started shutting down last year and everybody went to virtual everything.
Yeah, it really pushed everyone to make these strides.
So I'm really interested, what was their sort of hypothesis? Were they asserting that it was as effective as in-person training, or?
They were hoping that it would help with quality of life and mental health.
Oh.
So
kind of showing that during a during self or government-imposed isolation, this can help.
Yes. Okay. So they were just trying to show that exercise can help with mental health during hard times like the lockdown.
Well, very cool. Doesn't look like we have any definitions this time. So let's get into it. Let's jump in.
Okay.
So. Dive right in head first. Don't look.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Well, no, you're not supposed to look, because if you look, then it's scarier because you see how high up you are.
Oh, that's true. Okay. So, as usual, if I pronounce your name wrong, please forgive me. But we have Ibrahim, Chong, Ku, Wong, Chung, and Tan, who wrote this paper.
I wonder if it's the same Ibrahim from a different one. I think that was an A Ibrahim as well.
It's possible.
I mean, this is their job, so.
That's true. It's very possible it could be the same one. It was published this year in 2021. The title of the paper is Virtual Group Exercise and Psychological Status Among Community-Dwelling Older Adults During the COVID-19 Pandemic. It's a feasibility study.
Hmm.
It was published in Geriatrics. So the purpose of this study, we kind of talked about it a little bit already, but it was to assess the virtual exercise classes for the exercise and socialization for mental health in Malaysian older adults during the lockdown that happened in May and June of last year.
Yes, I remember.
I think we all very well remember.
I will say, like, I work for a medium to large company. We have a footprint across the country. We're not in every state because it's an insurance thing and there's territories and whatnot. But I had seen a culture that was very customer driven, and customer service was, I would say, treated with that in mind. And so it was very customer first and not employee first in the mindset. We have customer service phone folks in different sites in different states, so that if there is some big storm or disaster or something like that, that we have folks elsewhere that can pick up the slack and take the calls, right? Very smart diversification of people. So when all of this started last March, my company said, if you have a laptop, we want you to start working from home on Friday. And then the rest of you, we're going to figure it out. We'll probably do some sort of a staggered thing. We'll let you know. So I had a laptop. I had accepted the responsibility of having that laptop, which meant I was pretty much on call if stuff went down, if I needed to jump on, if a disaster hit the city, I would have to log on from home. That also gave me a little bit more freedom than some other folks. I could work from home on on occasion. If I was sick or after I had my ear surgery, things like that, and other people couldn't, they had to take PTO. And I get that. I get the complaints. Point being, by the next week, they told everybody, take your desktops, take your monitors, take your chair, take whatever you need, fill it out on a sign-out sheet. Everybody get out. Go home. And we have worked from home for an entire year. They just started sending people back to the office in early July. And that was countrywide. And I have never seen a response like that. And it was so cool to see. Like, they really put all of the employees first to keep us safe, keep us from getting sick and spreading it. Because a call center environment, like, you're in cubicles. Like, you're kind of right in front of everybody's faces. There's not... There's like little half walls, but
well, still you're in a room full of 50 people
and their job is to talk all day.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it was really cool. So I am one of those people that working from home, switching to an office environment to working from home suited me very well. I adapted very well. I exercise much more regularly than I did before just because I have the freedom of time that I didn't have. I don't have to put on makeup every day or ADHD my closet to pick out my outfit in the morning. Like it has really suited me. I have not suffered socially in terms of my coworkers because most of my meetings are with people that work in one of our other states anyway. So I'm not seeing them face to face as it was. So it didn't really change much for me. It was fine. So that is one thing I know I'm lucky and I am incredibly grateful that my position was able to do that. And I fully remember when things shut down because it was a crazy, crazy transition. But for me, it has really worked out. And I think I'm thriving more than I did when I was going in, for me personally. So
for me, I was working at a hospital when that started, and it was very interesting because the nurses I worked with, we worked in an outpatient rehab setting. So the nurses I worked with were freaking out about how they were probably going to get called in to the floors to work.
Oh, I bet.
And then all of a sudden our hours were gone and we were closed, and it was either we use PTO or we fight for our lives to sign up for temperature screenings at the doors. So it was week by week, whether or not I'd get my hours. I was very lucky and fortunate that I got my hours every week. There mm-hmm. was a lot of people that did not get their hours and they had to use... PTO, and they had to file for unemployment, and it was just hard times all around. So, but I never got really to experience the lockdown or the quarantine part of it. So we've had completely different experiences through COVID pandemic mm-hmm. and the lockdown and everything. But let's talk about the paper and talk about these older adults' experiences with the exercise during the lockdown.
Well, the recruitment of participants was done from a previous study, actually, that concluded in 2019. 251 participants were contacted for recruitment and 43 participants accepted. I was excited that there was 251 people. Not that 43
is still good.
It's not that bad, but it's less than I would prefer. But anyway, so 43 participants accepted the offer. Baseline was performed pre-pandemic, then they measured pre- and post-intervention May and June of 2020, measuring mental health. Utilizing the previous study's data set for pre-data measures such as physical activity, social participation, and social network, mental health was measured with the Hospital Anxiety and Depression Scales, or HADS. To measure physical activity, participants took the IPAC short form, which is the International Physical Activity Questionnaire. Social participation was measured with the Kiehl's Assessment of Participation. Lastly, the social network was measured with the Lubin Social Network Scale. I told my sister the funny story about Along Came Polly, the movie, and Lubin before we started recording this. Recommend if you need a romantic comedy that's a bit silly. Lubin. the Lubin social network scale. It's probably Lubin. That would be my luck. Listen.
I've heard it pronounced Lubin.
It's Lubin. The participants were divided into two groups based on exercise class attendance, with the cutoff being greater or less than 14 sessions over 4 weeks. Classes were 30 minutes every day over the 4 weeks, and participants were also asked to keep a daily exercise diary. So group A were participants who attended 14 or more sessions, while group B were participants who attended less than 14 sessions. So, question.
Easy peasy. Yes.
So did they, everybody had the same number of sessions available to them? It's just a matter, yes, after the fact, who did more than 14 and who did less?
Yes. So it was like, who actually showed up to the classes? So they did, you know, 30 days of classes in a row, or however many, 31 maybe.
Let's jump into the results and maybe it'll answer my question before I ask it.
Okay, let's see.
How did it go?
As we talked about, there were 43 participants in this study. The mean age of group A was significantly higher at 65.1 years than group B, which was 61.8 years.
Our parents.
Oh, yeah. Group B had significantly poorer self-rated health than group A, which makes sense that they wouldn't go to as many group fitness classes because they perceive themselves to not be in good health.
Hmm.
And there was a significant increase in anxiety from baseline to the pre-intervention, which makes sense, pre-COVID and then once COVID started.
And all hell broke loose. It was crazy pants.
And it was also an increase from baseline to post-intervention as well. No significant differences were found over time in the depression scores. Overall, the attendance was 10.26 sessions.
Hmm.
The mean for group A was 16.43 sessions, and the mean for group B was 4.36 sessions.
Wow, that's low.
Yeah.
That's lower than I expected.
That's one time a week.
Dang.
So I found it interesting that there was no significant difference in time in depression scores. So
what was the time score again?
4 weeks. What?
You said there was no difference in time and depression scores.
Time in depression scores.
Oh, okay. That's kind of where I was going to go earlier a little bit, is that it wasn't just pandemic. There has been a whole mess of stuff going on in the world. And part of it's because we are, because of social media and 24-hour news cycles, we're just much, and phones everywhere, cameras everywhere. We're just much more privy to things happening all across the world than we've ever been. And so some of what was going on would have been going on anyway. It's just the fact that we could see it and we knew about it, whereas we couldn't before. So I think some of that is just going to be inherent a little bit, but there was so much going on. It doesn't surprise me that the depression was not latent significantly. My hope is that it was a little bit.
Yeah, I would hope so.
So anyway, I think, like I said, I think it makes sense just given the severity of the situation, how everything was going on, or just given everything that was going on, not just the first global pandemic we've seen in, what did they say, 100 something years?
Yeah.
So there was more than just that going on. And what I would like to know is some of the other stuff. So like the people in group A, were they more or less motivated to continue Did they, was there something about the virtual environment that was made it easier for them? Like, did they participate more because it was virtual? Did group B participate less because virtual just wasn't doing it for them? Did they feel like they couldn't, they needed that one-on-one guidance? Like, what, I'd be interested to really kind of have a sampling of some of the comments from the participants to see, like, what was it that made them successful or not? And would they continue?
That's a really good point. And I think that...
Thanks. I have them every now and then.
Well, I think that you're right that it, even though the data showed trends with health and anxiety increasing and things like that, there could be other factors related to their attendance. Like maybe, I know that the paper, I didn't go over the results of the this, but they talked about, you know, whether or not they were married or single or widowed, and their attendance in the groups. And if you were in group A, you were more likely to be married than in group B, you were more likely to be single, which I found interesting.
Well, it's definitely easier to be locked down, not solely by yourself.
Right.
That's for sure. I am very glad I was not single last year. And I'm still not.
Well, given that, you know, being single and being in quarantine, you think it would be harder, you would think they would have higher attendance for the socialization aspect.
That's true, because it would give them something that they've been craving.
But on the other hand, if you're a married couple, it's something for you guys to do together. And so if one person wants to do it and you've got one TV, then the other person can either just sit there and watch
it. Do
it
with me. What else are you going to do?
Exactly.
You can't go anywhere. So get up, put on your workout clothes, go.
Exactly.
It's half an hour. Just we're doing it. It's fine. Just get up. Harold, gosh darn it. Get up. Harold, I'm not saying you are indicative of every grumpy old man ever. It's just a name I like. That's it.
Just like the name.
So, to all the Harolds out there, please don't take offense. I really do enjoy your name.
So, when I was reading the paper, I wondered about the exercise prescription, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that they had an exercise professional do it, but they teamed up with a physical therapist or physiotherapist, I think is what they said in the paper. I don't quote me on that.
Oh, you're getting quoted, all right. Consider it marked.
But they talked about the exercises were, you know, the exercises were mostly chair exercises, and they did some exercises standing, holding on to the chair. So it's a what I would call a typical older adult fitness group fitness class. But I just found it interesting that, that they did more of the traditional exercises, or what I would call more traditional exercises for that setting. And I assume they did it with little to no equipment because people were in lockdown, so they couldn't provide weights for the participants. They might have been like, if you use them, if not, don't worry about it. Maybe they suggested to use, you know, cans of food or something. I don't know. It'd be interesting to to get those details.
Save your empty milk jugs, fill them with water, but you can like use your kitchen scale to measure it.
Make them even. Anyway, did you learn anything else from the paper you'd like to bring up?
No, I think I just have more questions than answers. I'm glad they did it. And I'm glad that they showed that it was effective for some people. I think I would just prefer a little bit more of a breakdown on what... See, this is where I think there's a phase two to research papers that's not done as often. But like having a separate group kind of... discuss how the findings. So like the research paper, you have a hypothesis and really your only goal is to set your hypothesis, do your test, and then decide if the test data supports your hypothesis or not. But I would like to see much more of a analysis on how the factors within the test interplay with other factors.
Mm-hmm.
So with this one, it would be, did the people in group A participate more or less after this? Did they continue participating? Did they like it? Did it give them motivation? Were they already prone to participating in things like this beforehand?
Right.
Just something that would give the ability to make recommendations for improvement for people. So if I was a physio or somebody in the field like you, I don't know that there's much that can be gleaned from this paper that I could take and apply to my real life.
Right.
I think that's where I'm at with it.
I think you're right a little bit. I think that, you know, everyone is jumping on research for the, you know, pandemic because this is something that we've never seen before. They want to look at all the different aspects of how it impacted our lives and everything. So, not sure what we can do with this information quite yet, but I'm sure we'll figure it out one day.
If this prompts people, more people to study the parts that we've discussed, hey, maybe that's enough. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it inspiring additional study is great, I think.
I agree.
Good next step. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on this adventure today, guys. We hope you
learned something.
I was going to say learn something, but I'm not sure I did either. So we hope that this gave you a curiosity to go explore.
There we go.
On your own.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Exercise Science TLDR podcast show. If you want to hear more from us, please write a review and subscribe. Join us online at exerciscienctldr.com. Remember, if it's too long and you didn't read it, we read it so you don't have to.